Welcome to the second hour of We the People Radio. It's always nice when the second hour comes in more organized than the first hour. That's kind of a good sign.
I feel better about that.
Do you feel better about
that? Yes, I do.
So my name is Aaron Ryan.
And my name is Bill Cundiff.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Yeah.
I like it.
Okay.
We had a really short staring contest. Hey, it just seems so much longer on the radio.
I know it. Our sponsor this hour is Pape Machinery, our local John Deere Ag and Turf dealer. And you never know, one of these days you might go down there and see Lyle Rapacki down there demonstrating a John Deere tractor. You just never know. They're located at 3119 Twin View Boulevard in the city of Shasta Lake, and they've got everything you want when it comes to John Deere. They even have pedal tractors down there now if you want to put one of those under the tree. So go down and see them or give them a call. Their phone number is 530-226-9226, or catch them on the web at papemachinery.com.
Nice. And just by way of information, you can always find us at wethepeopleradio.us. We've got, I've been saying we have 13 years of archives. Is it still 13 or are we at 14 now? I don't know. Lots of years. Lots of years, lots of archives. Robert's kept track of that for us and put those up and gotten them posted. And they are always free to listen to. He calls out all the free enterprise moments, so you save a little time by listening to the archive. You can send them to your friends. You can, burn them on CDs and sell them. You can put it on your own website. We don't care. We're not going to send you one of those hateful notes that said, we want $2,000 because you used something that belonged to us.
I don't think anybody uses CDs anymore.
I don't know about that. Yeah. But I don't know if anybody else is getting those hateful letters, but it seems like I'm getting them all the time. There is an image on your website that belongs to the Associated Press. Send us $2,000 and we won't come to your house.
I get love mail.
I'm like, yeah, go ahead, come
get
to my house.
Hate mail, but...
So, I don't know what made me have the need to share that little detail there.
Yeah, boy.
Obviously, I'm feeling hateful about it, okay? I'm just feeling hateful about it.
I have fans. You have haters.
I have some pent-up frustration. Well, they send it to Bill, but Bill doesn't respond. They send it to me. That's mostly how it goes.
That's what gets them fired up, is me. Okay, I see.
And, you know, just by way of full disclosure, 26 years. Is it 26 years? Dang it, I always get it wrong. I think it might be 27 now. Years ago, Bill and I got married the Sunday before Thanksgiving, which would be today. The stinking date keeps changing, so it just really ruins it. We can never figure out when we got married.
This year we got married on Thanksgiving.
Because the 23rd is actually Thanksgiving this year. It's crazy. So the Sunday before Thanksgiving, because we were going to a Kubota tractor convention, and our honeymoon would be paid for.
Yep. I'm a big swinger. I know how to capitalize on that stuff.
Full disclosure theater here.
How many people do you know, Lyle, that went to a tractor convention on their honeymoon? Huh.
How many potential wives thought it was fun?
I knew I had a winner.
That's a whole different show right there.
Yes, it is.
I was like, it was super. People look at me like I was crazy. I'm like, why? It was really fun. And then we thought, see, because we're obviously cheap. So we thought, hey, this is perfect. Every year there's a Kubota tractor convention right before Thanksgiving. So we'll basically get like a free vacation for our honeymoon, for our anniversary, and we'll just use it for our honeymoon. It'll be perfect.
Weave a tractor in there once in a while and call it good.
Yeah, so anyway, go figure that out.
I know that Pape called me during the break here, want to know if I can come over and work a shift with the brand new pedal tractors.
They wanted to see you fit it under the tree like Bill advertised.
Yeah,
Clark Griswold.
I don't know why they won't let me play with the bigger tractors anymore. But anyway, that's beside the
point. Yeah, that's out.
Yeah.
So
I think once they check you out, you'll be okay.
So, Dr. Rapacki, why don't you veer into the other lane of border security, since you live in Arizona. Sorry about that. And
the border? Last I heard, there was like a caravan of 20,000 people heading for the border.
They're headed for Lyle's house.
Yeah, I know. That would be a mistake on their part.
What are you saying?
I would take that as an invasion. Yes, I would.
I think we're all taking it as an invasion.
Thinking of back on your question about the border, it was about, golly, you guys, I'm going to screw this up.
Stop telling this. We want to be surprised.
Yeah, but 15 years ago, what would that be, 2009, 2008, or something like that, I wrote a small report. That's how I got involved in all this stuff. I wrote a small report to five members of the Arizona legislature dealing with border security issues. They wanted to raise their own border. Arizona did. They knew Obama wouldn't do a thing. And so they're collecting funds and working out and all of that. And I wrote this report explaining what explaining what Agenda 21 is. Can you hear me now?
Yep.
Okay, good. Explaining what Agenda 21 is, explaining why the border won't be secured. I just all of the stuff. Well, it didn't go over well. And only one person asked me to come down and speak with her, and that was Representative Judy Burgess, who was chairman of Homeland Security. So I came down, and I spent time over a couple of days instructing why the border would not be secure and what was really coming and what Agenda 21 was. At that time, they had never heard of me. Now, I bring all that up today because you're asking about the border. It's absolutely wide open. Texas, on the Rio Grande side, has now laid, I think, a third row of wire, really difficult Constantine wire. And they're securing their border on their own. Of course, a lot of damage has been done, but they're doing what they can as fast as they can as a state. And the federal government has gone after them. But fortunately, the Supreme Court ruled no, they're within their jurisdiction under the 10th Amendment. Now, as Texas continues to work like crazy to secure their border, what that's doing, it's causing the caravans to come up this way. They're still going into Texas. We have maps of how they're going in, aerial, but also they're coming to Arizona and then San Diego. And the reason for this is what Obama started in pretty large detail, and then all of this was interrupted by Trump, and that's one of the reasons we're so livid at him. At the thought of him getting back in, he set back Agenda 21, or now it's called the Agenda 2030, Agenda for the 21st Century. Things called different things, but what he did to the globalists is he made America dominant again. He made America not dependent on the world for oil. He made America more secure, etc. And we can go down this list. And the elites and the uniparty people detest him. I mean, when you have a Republican like a Chris Christie or a Nick...
You're not allowed to swear on the thing. We got to pay extra, so we can't say Chris anybody.
Okay, Chris, and I don't know. I'm not politically correct.
He's just horrible. I swear. I thought he was gone, and now he's back in this election thing. And I'm like, yeah. Oh, come on, really?
Well, they're not going anywhere. I mean, they're not getting any traction. 3%, whatever.
Yeah, yeah. Thank goodness. But we still have to listen to the guy.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, that one time he claimed to be Donald Trump's good buddy. It was Christie who brought in Frey for the FBI.
He did. Figures.
Yeah, they were tough. They were good buds, you know, tight. So
lovely.
He convinced Donald Trump to appoint him as director of the FBI. There's another glaring example of uniparty establishment, Ron.
Yeah, or just Chris Christie being an idiot, and no one should have listened to him. So there's that.
There's that also. So the border problem we have now is really the elimination of the middle class in America. What you're seeing is one example of how they intend to do that. They, meaning the global elites, those that are in the upper court here in America, regardless of being Republican or Democrat, that doesn't matter anymore. It's the uniparty people, the globalists, So they're intending to eliminate the middle class in America. That's why you're seeing prices getting so skewed, and it's the middle class that's going to pay the biggest cost of that. Also, the destruction overall of American economy, which means individual wealth is not allowed. So you're seeing that again, kind of what I just said, but also you're seeing the elimination of many of the safeguards that middle-class Americans became privy to. Elimination of private property. They're doing, the government, the central powers, are doing whatever they can to seize. They're doing it out here in Arizona. When somebody 1,700 acres comes up, the government tries to move on it and seize it, or pay a dime a lot, an acre, or something like that, because they intend to turn it into a green zone. Everybody's excited because it's going to be pretty. The trees will be on it. The problem is people will not be allowed to be on it. So not only are the lands being manipulated by the government, but so are the citizens, because the citizens aren't allowed to be on the land. Citizens aren't allowed to do this or that. And that's part of what they're looking to do, is eliminate private property, because that forces people into already controlled areas.
Well, and a lot of that is being facilitated by landowners, because they're putting their property in these land trusts and conservation easements, yeah, and that kind of thing. Yeah. And, you know, the only person who's really bound by those agreements is the landowner. And other than that, you've got the Nature Conservancy or somebody running it. I'm not a fan.
Yeah, I know. You're right on, Aaron. You're right on that. It's a multi-pronged approach, but the final analysis is the same.
Yes. The end result.
The end result is that individuals no longer have a whole list of freedoms that have been removed from them, and then also they've become dependent upon the state, which is socialism. We're seeing it step up. It goes with what Obama said. His term was just to fundamentally transform the U.S. into a socialist. So he said this publicly. It's not made up. He was unabashedly being very blunt. And that's what he intended to do. Well, look at how far he went. Part of the problem that I think Trump had is that the last 3 years of Obama's time in the presidency, a major portion of that was the appointing of federal employees to third ring, fourth, fifth ring areas in these different departments. And so if a president changes, the first ring or two, the top rings, would change with him, because they serve at the pleasure of whoever.
Yeah. Well, and President Trump unfortunately didn't really understand the structural process and didn't listen. He distrusted the people who were in politics. And, there's healthy distrust, and then there's distrust to your detriment. And in that regard, it was distrust to his detriment, because he did not get rid of a lot of the people that he was actually eligible to get rid of. He didn't need cause or anything else. There's like 4,000 positions he could have just eliminated. And he didn't do it because he was kind of operating under the government is like a business, only we call it the government. But I'm the new CEO, so all these middle managers work for me. Like, not really.
Mm-mm.
And a lot of those people really, really caused a lot of problems, and are still causing problems, actually. They are still there. And I just can only hope that next year, when we have a sea change, that they come in and really do clean house and get rid of some of these people. I mean, I've watched, good Lord, the guy that's running the Forest Service was a terrible regional forester here in Region 5 where we are, and now he's running the whole Forest Service.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, it's funny, I told a guy that the other day, he didn't know. He goes, yeah, well, at least Randy Moore's out. I go, what do you mean he's out? I go, he's the chief of the forest. I thought the guy was going to fall over. He's like, oh, my God. I go, yeah, he's like the top dog now. I mean, Peter Principal is on, Beyonce on steroids. He goes, oh, I go, doesn't that explain maybe like all the problems you're calling me about? He goes, oh, yeah, forget it. Okay, thank you. Oh, my God. We have to take a really quick break, though, but we're going to come back. Our guest is Dr. Lyle Rapacki, and you are listening to We the People. I wasn't sure if she received me in there. She's a multitasker. Look at her in there multitasking. You can find us at wethepeopleradio.us. Could it be a sin? I got stopped by the immigration man. He said he doesn't know if he can. Let me in. Let me in. Immigration man. You can swim the tide. Don't try to deny it. Why are you laughing, Bill?
Lyle, I don't know where she comes up with this.
Across the river, if you can't swim the tide, come on. You could try denying living on the other side, but, you know, the way it's working out now, though, people from Venezuela came to Chicago and decided that Chicago sucked, and they went back to Venezuela.
Yeah, so they didn't like the
apparently
Windy City.
That is how we fix the illegal immigration problem. We make it less awesome. And then they don't want to come here. It's like, well, wait a minute, but we still have to live here. Huh. I see a flaw in that theory. Uh-oh. Lyle, are you in the cone of silence? There you are. You're back again.
I never went anywhere.
Sorry.
Yeah, we
had we're having a little, sound challenge there.
So you checked. To the vocal people and the sound people haven't cleared up.
I was. You should have seen me. It was like I was landing a plane. I was just waving my arms a little bit. Apparently, the landing the plane arm wave was. I just forgot.
Always works.
You know what? if it wasn't any fun in here, then we wouldn't do it. You know?
There you go.
And if perfection, it's like I always bring up, perfection is not the goal because we have only ever had one perfect person and we killed him. So, you know, perfection just isn't all that great.
Good point.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah. An unpleasant reminder there. It's Sunday too, you know, so I thought I'd bring that in.
Very nice.
Gave that disclaimer the other day for a debate, and then I forgot to let the candidates give an opening statement. The first thing I did was not let them do their opening statement.
Keep them guessing.
And I was like, well, the whole thing about perfection we started with, yes, that. God.
Wow.
I know, brutal.
You know, Bill, I got to tell you something. Take another dime out of my neck. just for you.
Oh, hey, but you know what?
Thanks,
in the
brother.
Debate, I made it up because one of the questions I asked him was if these were the U.S. Senate candidates, and I said, okay, you are king for a day. You can write any bill you want. It will pass 100 to zero. Tell us all about your bill. I'm like, what a fun question, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So you guys in Arizona, because you are a border state, and we see all the time, you know, we see the pictures of people roaming through everyone's private property, and that's been going on for years. So we kind of, before the break, we're talking about private property. What is happening with your poor ranchers and along the border and your homeowners and the towns?
They're fighting a hell of a battle to survive. It's not theatrical. It's not made for television movie. They're literally fighting to survive. They're fighting to preserve their land for cattle and whatever else they may be growing. The illegals, and that's what they are coming from 160, depending on which law enforcement you talk to, 160 to 163 nations all over the world. The door is open. There is no real screening. Now, let me contradict what I just said, because there is a certain watch list, international terrorism watch list, and there's a couple of others. And so somebody could be caught, and they have been caught on those watch lists, but the number of gotaways is just astronomical. Gotaways means that the illegal coming into America was able to circumvent Border Patrol in one form or another. They got away. Now, sometimes Border Patrol will see them. They can't catch up with them for one reason or another. So that's gotaways. But America is in terribly serious trouble. And if we have an election in 2024, I know what I just said. If we have an election in 2024, it most likely will be our last as a nation. If we don't use it appropriately, we will lose this nation. We're well on the way. We've already hit the iceberg. We're already taking on water. And there are now people who are finally starting to get wet. They're going, wait a minute, we got a problem. We still have a lot of people who are up on the upper decks partying, dancing, having a good time. They're completely oblivious to what's taking place.
Yeah, and if you were going to, like, if you're going to prioritize it, okay, so let's go king for a day, right? So if you're king for a day and you get to prioritize the order of things getting fixed, I realize a lot of them have a lot of moving parts, but from a like a topic header standpoint, what would be your list? Like from what do you think is the biggest thing?
I'd secure the border first. I'd call up both National Guard and military based on the trees of an insurrection and or an attack taking place on America. And that's what we have. We have over 10 million illegals that have come into this country. We have no idea what's really going on with them. So I would do that. I'd secure the border first. Secondly, I'd call stops to everything dealing with different wars or planned wars going on across the world. America is spread out everywhere, and we don't have the forces to protect America, much less what we're trying to do across this world. Part of it is recruitment. Kids don't want to be in the military. They're not proud of it. The things that have gone on in the military to change it, to make it more socially woke over the last four years, is astounding. So I would bring our military home from every aspect across the world, except in the most dire of straits. But no, I'd bring them home. What else do I get to do? Anything?
You're king for the day. Come on.
Yeah, I get rid of all of Biden's executive orders. Just cancel them all out. All 27 that he made on his very first day in office illegally. I'd start petroleum production here in America.
Yes.
We have more petroleum in the ground than anywhere in the world. Anywhere in the world.
You know, it's interesting because one of the Senate candidates, Denise Gary Pandel, running here for Dianne Feinstein's seat in California, she got to be king for the day, she didn't even think about it. She goes, I would immediately unleash drilling, fracking, natural gas, just whatever the thing is. She goes 100% all in on local production of energy, and she said that would take care of the economy, that would take care of jobs, that would take care of she listed all these things, and I thought, okay, I hope you get to be king for the day. That'd be awesome.
That is good, yeah.
That's a major game changer for us. And taking that off the table has been a major game changer.
Oh, yeah. Look what it's done to our energy production, our prices.
Price of gas, which makes everything more expensive.
Yeah. Ugh. Yep. So, Lyle, as far as the border goes, there's been a fair amount of talk just recently about maybe building the wall in certain areas and securing it in certain areas. What are you seeing in Arizona? Are they making any noise about starting to secure the wall and stop this inflow at all, or is it same as always?
Yeah, no. If there is talk like that, it's surface. It's to appease somebody, someone. Hobbs, who we think is an illegal governor based on election fraud issues, she hasn't done a thing to secure the border. In fact, just the opposite. Doug Ducey, who was before her, Republican, he did not do much to secure the border. He sent some help down to border sheriffs, but for the most part, there's been no active stance or behavior to secure Arizona's border. You take a look at Texas's border. You've got a governor, an attorney general, lieutenant governor, who understands what it means to be sovereign under the 10th Amendment. And so they're exercising the state of Texas, they're exercising their rights under the Constitution of the United States. We don't have that here. We surely don't have it in California with Newsom. They're doing what they can to eliminate the Constitution. They're doing what they can to allow America to become a multicultural ideology. You know, you can be anything you want to be, but we're not going to push being an American. We're not going to push being a proud citizen of a nation that has done what it has since its inception. We're not going to push that. That's why it's taken out of schools. That's why people are void of their history in this nation. And that's just another Marxist menu as to how you collapse a nation. You remove its sovereignty, and you get it following suit with the new ideology, which is Marxism.
Yeah, well, I mean, for a while we were replacing everything with climate theology. I mean, yes. I guess that's still kind of a thing. But climate theology sort of got tangled in its own rope when people figured out that you can only drive an electric car so far, and then when there's no charging station, you know, like with the guy with the truck, and he couldn't go on vacation. He had to go buy a gas-powered vehicle so he could take his family on vacation.
Yeah.
And Ford is like, you know, this whole electric thing is not really working.
Oh, yeah, a lot of them are changing their tune on electric because it's not only costing them a ton of money, but there's just no infrastructure to support it.
So you look at that. You look at what people are, you know, what they're trying to force them to do. So that little... that game is sort of getting screwed up for them. But, yeah, the multicultural thing, that drum is beating hard. And, okay, so what's your take on, well, I mean, I know that you're not like a Hamas guy. I mean, I don't mean that. But, I mean, what's your take on how that plays into all this? All this, oh, poor Hamas, they were attacked for years. They had to defend themselves. It's like, no. It's not what they did.
That may be a nice narrative and feel good thing. Again, if the listeners will go on to my website, Arizona Today, the number two, arizonatoday.com, you can see videos, shows that I've done. And one of the recent shows was a two-part, part one, part two, with Rabbi Jack Zimmerman. Rabbi Jack Zimmerman is the chief evangelist for Jewish Voice Ministries, which is an international ministry. And I've known Jack, I don't know how long, 12 years. Let's say it that way. It might be
so long. You do know Jack?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. Sorry.
You know,
I'd light that up for just a second there.
Yeah, that was. It took me a second, but then I heard it. Okay.
Bazinga.
Well, Dylan, you want to know why it's been so long since I've been back?
I know it. Every time you get on a roll, she throws Jack at you.
Hey, wait. He does know Jack. Somebody out there was thinking it. Someone had to say it. Otherwise, they were thinking we were dopes.
No, I would have used it too if I could have. On the other hand, you served the ball up. You're out here with the big dog.
Yep. So now that you do know Jack, what did he tell you?
Well, no, Rabbi Jack Zimmerman, and what we were discussing is what you brought up, and that is, well, Hamas is the victim. you go and watch those two shows, part one, part two, with Rabbi Jack Zimmerman, we're discussing the assault, the attack on Israel. And one of the things that I said to the rabbi was, Jack, this is nothing new. This has been going on for 4,000 years. Ever since Abraham and Sarah could not conceive, and then finally Sarah said, well, I'll give you my handmaiden. And he conceived a boy named Ishmael. And Ishmael was the only boy for about 14 years. And then Sarah and Abraham were able to conceive. And there's where the country of Israel came out of that lineage. And Ishmael, the Hamas, the Arab culture, if you will, came out of that division. So it was a big division. We talked about it. We talk about how Hamas is constantly going after Israel to eliminate it. And they're even so tricky as they, and we all saw this in the last couple of weeks, they're so tricky as to put missile launchers right next to a hospital in the same parking lot. So that way they can release the missiles and have certainty that Israel would not go ahead and retaliate against the hospital.
Yeah, they retaliate, and then they hit the hospital, and they're monsters. It's like, oh, that's kind of a neat deal.
Well, actually, what happened, you'll recall, Aaron, is you're right. They released the missiles. Israel retaliated, took them out. One missile hit the hospital. Oh, my gosh. Look at how mean Israel is.
Didn't it hit the parking lot, though? Did it hit the hospital or the parking lot?
No, it hit the parking lot and part of the hospital. But, I mean, this was a sign of the attack and the aggressiveness of Israel. 2 days later, what was announced, much undercover, was that the missile that hit the parking lot was actually an Iranian missile. And it misfired on the...
Evil doesn't always win.
Yeah, no, it did. It was just one of those.
Or shoot straight.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, you look at that, and I guess, you know, it might seem like we've veered off topic from the border, but not really, because a lot of those people either are here, are coming here.
Yes.
And when we start talking about the gotaways and the people on the terrorist watch list, and all that kind of stuff, you know.
Yeah, it makes you wonder who's here and what are they planning.
You look at the kind of stuff they did over there and you go, I don't know, could happen anywhere. Well, it does happen anywhere.
We got a major holiday coming and major air travel and everything else. I'm a little nervous. I mean, this has been going on for years now, and they've had plenty of time to
set up their base of operations, and Biden's given them, you know, several years of really good open border time. We have to take a really quick break. We'll come back. We'll pick right up where we left off. Found a cute little song called, oh, not Immigration Man. We already played that one. Sorry, did I pick the wrong one?
Oh, come on. What do I pay you for?
Illegal Alien. Can you play Illegal Alien? Do you do that one?
Not much.
Started with an I, and it was about immigration. Yeah. It was in my immigration list.
It's
she can
just
do that after.
$1.
Can you do Sneaking Into the USA first? Can you do that one?
All right. Well, I just wanted to make sure, Bill, that she wasn't being paid more than
me. No.
All right, so my fun song is the second song now, not the first song, because I wrote the wrong one. And since, you know, poor Christine is not a mind reader, she was not able to figure that out on her own. Mind reading wasn't part of the job. Surprise. I was going to say listen fast because Phil Collins talks quick in that one, but it's got some funny words. Anyway, we'll be right back. We're here talking to Dr. Lyle Rapacki, and you can find us at WeThePeopleRadio.us.
Okay, I can do it. Let's go.
Now everybody has this notion, come to the USA. Don't you worry about money, stupid Americans pay. Yeah, they'll pay for your health care, kids' education too. Just sneak across the border, and they'll take care of you. Well, they're crossing from Tijuana and California's line, and up in Vancouver, nobody seems to mind. In containers from China, yeah, you can sew away.
Got to be the one they were singing when they went back to Venezuela. Got to be. So, Lyle, with all the, you know, the threat assessment stuff you guys work on, what do you think about the, you know, the gotaways and the terrorist watch list and all that stuff? How likely is it we have all these folks here already?
And there are already what would be called soft
Americans?
Intel.
Oh, no, that's not it.
No, soft intel, meaning there's something there, but it's not backed up completely. It's not supported with evidence, and et cetera, et cetera. But there's something there that needs further exploration. There's already soft intel of Hamas groups in America versus states, in various states. And they're just waiting for the right word to be given as to what they're going to do. I think this is very serious. I think the sovereignty of this nation has been compromised huge. And to me, that the Congress can't do something about it is just stunning to me. And I think it shows just how far we've fallen from active leadership. We don't have leadership.
What would they, I mean, thing is, I guess I look at that and I go, well, what would they actually do? Because
Who's they?
I mean, because that's what the Homeland Security guy says all the time. You know, well, Congress has to do something. Well, for heaven's sakes, we already have border security. We have laws about how you come into this country, and we're not following them.
Correct.
So why would we make more?
I'm not into just making laws. But what we have are a lack of leaders. Look what took place just about a week ago when they brought Mayorkas up for impeachment. He's the director of 20 Republicans, so-called Republicans, voted not to do so. I don't know how, in your vivid mind, can you not see a level of treason that has occurred in several sectors? They at age, from Biden on down, have sworn an oath to preserve and protect and defend the Constitution of the United States from all enemies, foreign and domestic. It's not happening. They're all in violation. And I, for one, am astounded that they'll just keep talking about it.
Well, even if we got rid of him, I mean, they would put somebody else in, and Biden would tell them to not enforce the law. I mean, that's border security. Yeah. The actual people, the humans in border security, would follow the law. I'm sure it would be a lot easier for them than what they're being asked to do now. And they're being told not to do any of those things.
Right. You're correct. From all the memos and things that do finally reach public review, it's astounding how blunt from day one the Biden people have been insofar as doing away with the sovereignty of this nation, inviting in people, giving them cards, giving them access every month to free medical and to other support. The hope is to get them to vote in 2024, and that's why they're quickly trying to do what they can to give out either driver's licenses or some other form of recognition that they're here and that they've settled in and they're a member of our society.
Yeah, and the thing with that I think, I don't know that it gets lost, but that is what I was going to say, is it gets lost. It's all the people who come here legally, costs them a lot of money, takes a long time, it's a big pain. And there are so many people who come here the right way and that are waiting, tons of them that are waiting. And they're separated from family in a lot of cases. Lots of things going on with folks, and they can't get through the system because it's totally upside down with the flood across the border. Where if we just shut the border, we could kind of get back on our feet again with that, and we would know who's in the country.
But then again, Aaron, that goes against their stated philosophy, which is to collapse the sovereignty of this nation. And if and when something like that occurs, the repercussion to all other free countries, or even so-called free countries, it wouldn't be long at all. They'd all collapse. And that's part of what is the plan, to collapse the sovereignty of each nation and make a global community with the global leaders.
Yeah, what could go wrong? Because the rest of the world's doing so well. And that whole melting pot theory in London has worked out well.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's been incredibly successful.
No, you're right. And that's what they're wanting to accomplish. And don't ask questions. Just go along with it. Yeah, it's more than sick. It's demonic.
But you know what I think? If we were really going to get serious, and this is something that will never happen, not the serious part, but just a plan that would never take place, what really needs to happen is we would need the legislative branch to sue the executive branch. So basically Congress sues the president and the executive branch. It would go immediately to the Supreme Court for a constitutional decision. And they need to take them up on overreach and making laws. The executive branch is not supposed to make laws. They are the carrier outers. They're not the makers of the laws. But at any given time, plus or minus half the Congress is the same party as the president. So nobody wants to pull the ripcord on their guy.
I hear you. We don't have leaders. We have managers.
But see, I don't think the public would go for it either. We can blame the people in office, but at the end of the day, if you look at that, let's use an example that would really implode. Okay, so President Trump gets reelected, and the Republicans have the House and the Senate, let's just say. And so they decide, you know what? We can make this happen now. And they go after Trump to limit his executive power. And it goes to the Supreme Court for a decision, where the Supreme Court comes back and says, hey, you can't legislate by fiat, a.k.a. executive orders. How do you think the rank and file, not Democrats in the country, regardless of party, you think they would think that was a bold move, a good move that was helping the country, or would they see them as sellout heretic monsters? Because I'm thinking it's the second one.
I'm wondering if that's... if they would see him as the monsters, or is this just more of the same game? One of the things I know, I don't know if I've answered you really well. One of the things I've noticed going out and speaking and being with folks is that they're extremely angry. Extremely angry. They may have been slow in anger a year ago, 2 ago, but they're at a point now where there's been enough information that's come out that proves election fraud. Not hypothetical.
Sure.
But proves it. There's enough evidence that's come out. Look what took place. Look at the change that occurred in concert with the election fraud. You've got people into office that should not be in there. And look at, because they're in it, look at what's taking place. You go down this list, you listen to the economy, gas prices, et cetera, food, this and that. People are livid. They're livid at the Republicans also because they had the Congress, and yet whatever came up here in the last 9 months, what's any different today than 9 months ago? People are really fed up with politicians. They're fed up with people who are in public office.
Yeah, they should stop electing them because, you know, it's interesting. We had that conversation this morning at church, too, that they're not electing each other. Like, people blame them like they're electing each other in some secret back room. It's like, no. There are 350 million people sending those folks into office.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, if you ask around, who's your member of Congress? They don't know.
No.
They might know your state senator, but they don't know. I have people ask, you say something about your congressman. Now, which congressman? Well, your congressman. Well, which one is it? Which one are we talking about? Like, yeah. you only have one.
You only have one.
So it's kind of interesting, you know, our electorate. I think if we, the people who out here in the free world, who are looking to help rectify some of the thing, I think we've got to help educate our own folks.
I agree with you. I mean that. I'm not just saying it because I'm not sure. I agree with you. I think people are sorely misinformed. I sent you an hour ago during the show a speech that I gave a year ago. I know it's a year
ago. Well, by George, you did. Here it is.
Okay. The reason I sent that is because I read a letter that Rush Limbaugh sent to President Trump. So I read that letter, and you can hear clearly how Rush is so typical Rush, gets right to the point, and the people responded. Then the second part of my speech had to do with run toward the battle. Now, the reason I sent these to you is because Rush Limbaugh's words and my words of run toward the battle, I think, are fitting with what you're just discussing. And that is, what are the people to do? The people are so angry right now, but what I'm attempting to do is to get them to take their anger and let's do something
with
it.
Yeah, exactly.
It will make a difference. Yep. Because if they sit at home and don't vote, that's more room for the enemy to exploit. You're right.
Yeah, and you know, the thing is, they hold people accountable that they don't help. You know, they want to just yell at everybody to go. You know, it's funny because, like, after the 2020 election, people were angry that their member of Congress didn't go fix it. And it's like, but we don't have federal elections. Elections are controlled by the state. And I don't care to tell you how many, I couldn't even count how many people I spoke with who had no idea what the Secretary of State in your state did. They thought they did the same thing as the guy who prances around overseas.
Yeah.
Terrible characterization. He probably doesn't prance, but anyway.
Well, I sent you that.
I just posted it.
Okay, because I thought the content was really appropriate for what we were discussing. And then what you just brought up, you're exactly right. I want people to run toward the battle and stop looking to see who is running with you. Run, because what will happen is others will begin.
Yeah, and speaking of that, nice segue, by the way. You get the Segway Award. Here we are in the last 2 minutes, and boom! He pulls out the Segway super move. Because it says here on the bottom of your email, you're running for the Yucaipa County Supervisor District 1.
Yeah, how about that?
Buried the lead. Hell, took us 2 hours to crawl our way into that one.
Well, it's one of those things. I don't self-promote. It's just kind of interesting if you're running for office.
It's not really that interesting. That's called losing.
Well, it might be that also.
You got to self-promote. Come on, buddy.
You know, there may be a future show here coming up that I can bring somebody on with me. Right now, let me just...
Well, you know Jack, so we could always call him.
That's true, too.
Yep. And in all seriousness, we would like to talk to him, and we won't say that on the air, but you know, you can tell him we thought it was funny.
Okay. All right. I can do that. In fact, I will. There's a couple of folks that I'm going to recommend to you. And I've already talked to them.
Snazzy.
So I hope that is reflected in next month's paycheck for me.
You know what? We wouldn't dream of shorting you. Because that would be wrong.
You know, after how many years have we done this? 12?
Like a really lot, yeah. Yeah,
lot.
We've been doing this we've been going around. Let's see, hold on. I'm going to find out. Bop, 2016. Shebang.
Wow.
October of 2016. We have to run away, however, because it looks like we have 30 seconds left. So our guest has been Dr. Lyle Rapacki, who is running for county supervisor in Yucaipa County. If you live in Arizona, you should get with the program. You can find all that data at wethepeopleradio.us. See you next week.
Thanks, Lyle.
See you guys. Bye-bye, guys.
There ain't nothing in this world for free. I know we can't slow down, we can't hold back. Oh, you know, we wish we could. I know there ain't no rest for the wicked until we close our eyes for good.